You would open in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Tonight we will be looking at freedom, family, and forever. Freedom, family, and forever. Well, John chapter 8, it's a long chapter, but we will be picking up in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Well, verse 31, Jesus speaking to this group of Jews mixed with the common folk of the day and also the religious leaders. He says that if you abide, if you live in my word, you will be free. Jesus' word is life-changing. It's renewing, and it is what sets us free. Now these guys were normally more concerned with the physical than with the spiritual. So, like here, they often misunderstood what Jesus was actually meaning. And they were thinking the physical side. And in verse 33, they were like, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." I'm kind of surprised we don't have a little scenario here of Jesus like laughing, because the reality is they had been in bondage to Egypt, to the Syrians, to the Babylonians, to the Medes, to the Persians, to the Grecians. And at that moment, they were under Roman rule. And so it's kind of an odd comment. "We've never been slaves to anybody." Well, if you know anything about the Old Testament, they were always being, brought into slavery as a punishment because they would sin against God and they would turn from God. Well, these guys weren't looking at the spiritual. They were just looking at the physical. And Jesus is talking about truth. He says, if you know the truth. And the truth here, it's the Greek word gnosko. It's the Greek word that means experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge, not just stuff that we've learned in a book, but it's something that we've lived, that we've brought into our hearts, and that we're going to live out. And so Jesus is speaking here that if we live, if we abide, if we know, if we receive his word, his truth, well, that truth is going to set us free. Now, not free from the Romans. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking spiritually. He was talking about setting us free spiritually from the bondage of sin. Setting us free from Satan's grasp. Well, these guys needed a little more help than hopefully we do today. Hopefully we get this and we leave here changed, free. But these guys wanted to argue with Jesus. They wanted to continue to push. Well, they say, "We've never been in bondage." Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of it." Most of us here today wouldn't think that we were slaves. Well, and our country's never been ruled by anybody else. And clearly we know Jesus is speaking, because he says it, he's speaking of sin. Sin does hold us captive. We're a slave to it. It is our master. And that's the reason why Jesus came. We just celebrated Christmas. That's why he came, was to set us free. And so here he's telling them as clearly as one can, hey, you can be free, free from sin, free from the guilt, free from the shame that sin brings along with it. Well, now, he goes on here, and he says, verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, as he says this, he's not saying that none of us will ever sin, that once you become a believer, then you'll never sin again. No, we know, because we know ourselves, that we are sinners, that we make mistakes, and that's why we're told if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've all sinned. We all fall short. Jesus is talking about a lifestyle of sin, living in sin, choosing to follow our sin rather than follow God. Well, if Jesus sets you free, he makes us a promise here. And I like promises in the Bible because we know that our God is truth. And if he says that he's going to set us free, well, we can hold to that promise that we will be set free, that we will be forgiven, that we can live that life of liberty that he has called us to. So my question is, are you free? Coming in here tonight, are you weighed down by sin? Or are you free? Well, if you're feeling weighed down, if you feel as though you're in bondage to something in your life, you can leave here today free from that, forgiven for that. Well, if you know you're a believer, you've given your life to Jesus, but maybe some things are creeping into your life, you can deal with that as well. We're free. We don't have to stand in the jail cell any longer. No, the gate's been opened, and we can leave. We can break free from that. So he makes it clear to these guys that it's his word that we can be free in. Now, I like here, just as a side note, he talks about, you know, abiding in his word. And it's not a program that we try to do here by read through the Bible in the year. We're not trying to force people to do that. We're just trying to give you guys the foundation, something to get into God's word, to be surrounded by God's word. And when we do that, God's the one who changes us. It's really about his word. It's about just focusing on Jesus. Well, in verse 37, we're going to look at family here. Freedom in Christ, freedom from our sin. But also there's a family that, well, we can be a part of. And once again, he's speaking spiritually, not physically. Verse 37. This is Jesus speaking. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They wanted to kill Jesus. Now, Jesus knew this, and he knew that this is why he came, that he would die for the sins of the world. Now, in the book of John, repeatedly he would say that it's not his hour because he knew that there was a specific way he would die and there was a specific time. But he confronts these guys, and I like that about Jesus, that when he was speaking to religious leaders or religious people, he spoke very clear, very straightforward. But when Jesus was speaking to somebody that was outside of that, well, he never affirmed or condoned sin, but he was gentle and loving and kind as he would speak to them. Now with these religious people, he's just straightforward. And he makes a distinction here. He says, yeah, you are of the lineage of Abraham. He says, but you do the works of your father. These guys didn't believe his words. They didn't believe the word of God. Well, he's going to go on to make it real clear who their father is. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 39, the works of Abraham. Well, what did Abraham do? Well, ultimately, we know from Galatians 3 that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham had faith in God. in God's word. He trusted what God had to say. Now, we know that he made some mistakes along the way, but he loved God. He trusted God. He had faith, and he was focused on the plan of God. And these guys are like, well, you know, Abraham is our father. And Jesus is like, whoa, if you really were, well, you'd believe God. You'd believe me. You'd have obedience to the word of God. Verse 40, Jesus goes on to say, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Abraham didn't desire to kill. No, he was for the plan of God. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Now, I've noticed that when people get backed into a corner, when people get defensive, they lash out. And they say things that their intent is to hurt. Their intent is to try to get you riled up. Now, Jesus would have been one of those guys that you wouldn't want to have gone up against in a debate, because he was right. And the whole thing here is they're trying to prove to Jesus that they really are following God. And he just keeps laying the truth down in front of them. And out of frustration, they're like, well, we weren't born out of fornication. They were making an accusation, a clear reference to Mary. And we just went through the Christmas story. And now, although they were saying these things, we know, well, the scripture needed to be fulfilled that the virgin would conceive a child, that she would give birth. Emmanuel, God with us. And we also know that this would have looked to the world around him as that she was unfaithful. Now, even in the midst of what Jesus was doing, he was healing people, he was doing great miracles, he was speaking these amazing truths. You think at some point they would have gone, whoa, hey, I remember what Mary said some 30 years ago. I remember. But instead, they wanted to hold on to the lie. And they lash out, trying to rile Jesus up, trying to make him mad. Honestly, I'd probably get a little sideways if somebody said something like that to me. And it's probably a good thing that I'm not God, because he could have just been like, you know, and their eyebrows were gone. You know, and it's just like, no, he could have done something, but we don't see Jesus responding to the accusations. We don't see Jesus getting upset and defending himself. No, he could have fought and argued the point. But he wanted to reach these guys at a spiritual level. He wanted them to see their sin, their need for the truth. He wanted them to be saved. And as Jesus confronts these guys in a pretty bold way, his desire is to see them saved. His desire is to see them drawn into the family of God. Well, that their works would prove that they were true descendants of Abraham. Well, Jesus goes on to say after they say this, verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. He goes on and he just makes it clear. He says, your father is the devil. Wow. Your father is the devil. These guys were claiming to be God's children, God's people. They were claiming to be doing the things of God, yet they weren't. And so Jesus just straight says, no, What you're doing is of the devil. Satan wanted to kill. And that's what you guys are about. That he knew their hearts were about murder. That they wanted to kill him for their own selfish gain. He says family here. Hey, where are you at? Well, we know Jesus wanted them to be truly in the family of God, but their hearts were far from God. Now, you know, his intent is always to see people saved, because we know that it's God's will that none perish, but that all receive forgiveness. Well, if you're a believer, you're going to hear God's word. You're going to receive God's word. The book of James tells us that as we look into the perfect law of liberty, it changes us. As we look into the word of God, we see it and we go, whoa. And James gives us that cool picture of, it's like a guy looking into the mirror. He sees himself, hair's kind of like, you know, and, oh, maybe I should shave, maybe, eh. And he goes on. He recognizes all the faults on his face, but heads off to work in his pajamas. And, you know, and it's that picture that, no, we clean ourselves up to go out in public, and some of us try. And we try to put our best foot forward, but it should be that way with the Word of God. As we look into the Word of God and we see what God has for us, desires for us, we should look at that and go, whoa, my hair's a mess. Man, I got to change that. Wow, I really should do something about that. And it should be an exciting thing for us to want to clean up, to change. Well, if we're believers, if we're children of God, we're going to hear God's word. We're going to obey it. And probably not many of us here are of Jewish descent, but the Bible makes it so clear that it's faith in God that makes us an adopted child. Well, Jesus says your father is Satan. The point was to make them go, whoa, he's right. I am guiding my life in that direction. And a lot of times it's hard when people rebuke us, when people come to us and they're like, you know, I had a friend many years ago come up to me, and he wasn't a believer at the time, and just flat out rebuke me. Hey, the Bible says you can't do that. I got all upset. You know, and I'm fairly good with words, so I convinced him I was right. But in my heart, I knew I was so wrong. And I repented, and it took me a while to tell him how much I appreciated that. Because I know how hard it is to go to somebody to say, hey, in love, man, this isn't right. And Jesus was just telling these guys, hey, your heart's not right with God. So if somebody does come to you, receive what they have to say and at least pray about it. Say, God, is this true? Is this accusation true? Is there something I need to change here? Look at the evidence of your life and weigh that with Scripture. Compare it to the mirror of God. And if there's something you need to change, change it. It's not that big of a deal. Because we should want to be close to God. Well, who is your father? It really comes down to, it's either God or the devil. And, you know, that's, you know, not the easiest thing to tell somebody. And I don't actually, you know, encourage you to walk up to your neighbor and be like, son of the devil! You know, that's, you know, he's not going to respond well, you know. But that is a reality. And so for us here tonight, we can look at this and we can look at our own hearts. Who is my father spiritually? Who is my father? Am I truly a child of God? Well, we got to know that God's arms are open wide. God's arms are ready to receive us, to adopt us into his family. His house is big enough, and there's room. Well, freedom in Jesus' words. A family. When we turn to God, when we give him our lives, when we receive the truth. And here in verse 48, we're going to look at forever. Then the Jews answered and said to Jesus, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Well, apparently the response wasn't what they wanted from the we weren't born of fornication. So here they're lashing out again. Well, maybe we'll get him this time. You're not even a Jew, and you have a demon. Well, that's kind of crazy because they all knew he was Jewish. They all, you know, they had seen what he was doing. They had seen what he was saying. But once again, they're lashing out, saying that Jesus has a demon. Well, I like how Jesus responds. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Well, we keep going to this. Jesus is speaking spiritually. They're going to take this as a physical statement. Now, a lot of people today, you know, what's going to happen after I die? They struggle with the reality of that. And Jesus gives us the answer here. And he just says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." If we take the words that Jesus say, if we believe them, if we receive them, we will not taste spiritual death. Now, we're all going to die. Hate to break it to you. We are all going to die at some point. Chances are pretty high of that. But we don't have to die spiritually. No. We have Jesus' promise that if we abide in his word, if we live in the truth, if we become adopted into his family, we don't have to worry about spiritual death. And I actually don't really worry about dying that much. I don't really like to think about how I might die, but we shouldn't fear death. Absent from their body is present with the Lord. Man, that should be something that just fires us up to realize that, hey, man, well, if I'm not here, I'm with him. To live is Christ, to die is gain. As we live this life, it's about Jesus. And to die, we're gaining eternity. We're gaining the very presence of our Savior. We're gaining the complete removal of our sin nature. We're gaining a new body. I hope to be taller. We're gaining so many things. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If we abide in him, we have nothing to worry about. Spiritually, he doesn't make any promises that this life will be easy, but that he will be with us through the hard times. Well, verse 53... Just kidding. Verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." Well, looking on the physical side, they're like, their tombs are over there. You know, what are you talking about? Are you greater than Abraham? Well, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." This should have been convicting to them, because he's saying, I'm keeping his word. I'm honoring the Father. And they were claiming the same thing. This should have made them look at their hearts. Well, they didn't. Verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Jesus makes kind of a rad statement here about who he is. And you know, they're like, "Well, you've seen Abraham?" And he goes and says, "Before Abraham was, I am. Claiming the very name of God. And we know that because at the burning bush, Moses is speaking to God, and God's, you know, you guys hopefully know the story. He says, go to my people. And he's like, who should I say sent me? And God, of course, says, I am. I am has sent you. And I love that name about God because, well, I am. He's saying, I am your God. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your friend. And Jesus was claiming that very name. In fact, 7 different times in the book of John, we have recorded Jesus making an I am statement. Jesus claimed to be God. There's people out there that say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Yes, he did. Over and over and over. And that's why they picked up stones, handy stone with them, and they were going to kill him. And ultimately, that's why he went to the cross, is because they brought in all these false witnesses and nothing was going to stick. So they said, tell us straightforward, are you the Christ? And he says, it is as you say. Jesus said, yes, I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. Well, he was claiming to be God. God the Son. And they rent their clothes and they put him on a cross. They crucified Jesus because he claimed to be God. God the Son. Now, he actually could claim that because that's who he is. But they were looking for any reason they could to get rid of him. It was not his time. Jesus passes through the crowd. I kind of hope to know how that went down when I get to heaven. You know, how does that work? They're all right there, rocks, and he's like, I don't know. There's so many cool little things that I just have no clue how it happened, but I want to know. And probably when I get to heaven, I won't really care that much about that. But what we can see here is that if we're a believer, we're never going to die spiritually. And that our Father is God, that his truth sets us free, that absent from his body is absolute certainty to be present with our Lord. Freedom from sin. Man, it can overpower us, the guilt and the condemnation of sin. And as King David wrote in some of his Psalms, that he just felt like his body was falling apart. He was just dying because of his sin. But he also writes about the amazing freedom when he confessed his sin. Now, he held on to it for a year, his sin with Bathsheba. And yet, when he came to God, he knew that it wasn't the sacrifices of bulls and goats. It's not, well, I've sinned, so now I have to work to gain my favor with God. No. Even David in the Old Testament knew that it was a repentant heart. It was coming to God and just saying, I've sinned. Free me from my sin, my guilt, my shame. And a family. We all need to be a part of a family. And there is nothing greater than being able to turn and say, Abba, Father, God. He's our I am. He is our every need. I mean, there's nothing that he can't supply. Well, and of course, forever is a long time, and I wish I could explain that to you, but it just keeps going and going, and I don't know how that works. But I do know that we can be a part of that, that we can be with our Savior forever, to abide, to live, to be with him. Now, today, most of us probably aren't outwardly rejecting Jesus or outwardly rejecting the Word of God. But it's always about the heart with Jesus. It's always about him looking past the front that we have. And most of us have that self-protective, you know, outer, you know, look. We want people to think we're respectable or whatever. But God sees through that. And you need to know that today he knows your heart. He knows if you're broken. He knows if you're hurting. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. And today you can leave here with joy and hope You can leave here forgiven. If in your heart you know that you're not a child of God, and the reality scares you, well, you can change that. You can become a child of God, adopted into His family, and you can live forever. We're going to take a few minutes and pray just silently, and then I'll pray. I just want to give you guys the opportunity, if you're a believer, just to talk to your Savior, to deal with whatever you need to deal with. If you're not a believer, prayer is just talking to God like we would talk to each other. We don't have to use big fancy words. I don't know very many big fancy words, so it's easier for me. But God doesn't want us to act when we talk to Him. No, we just want to talk to Him. Prayer is a time of talking. And if you don't know God as your Savior, if you've never realized that Jesus' words are the words of life and freedom, well, you can just ask God to speak to your heart, to reveal to you His truth. And you need to know that when Jesus came, He came to die on the cross. But He wasn't going to stay dead. No, He's God, and He can beat death. And because He died on the cross, because He's raised from the dead, He can give us life. He can give us victory. He can free us from our slavery to sin. So we're just going to take a few minutes just to sit quietly and to pray. I'll start us off, and then we'll be silent. Lord, thank You for this reflection into Your Word. We just ask now in these few moments of silence that You speak to our hearts. We give You this time. Father, there are so many different needs in this room, in this building. And yet You know and care about each one of them. We know that life isn't easy. But yet there is joy because You are God. Jesus, I ask that You truly speak to each of our hearts, that Your Spirit rise up within us and direct us and guide us. That if we have lost a passion for Your Word, that tonight You renew that. That we can abide, that we can live, that we can surround ourselves with Your Word. That we can share that word with our family, with our friends. That we can share Your love with the people around us. And today, Father, that You would purify our hearts by Your word. You promise that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive them, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So bring now to our minds anything that we need to ask forgiveness for, that we need to turn from, that we can be holy as You are holy, that we can strive to live for You in purity of heart, that the world around would see You in us. And Lord, that we can leave here rejoicing in our salvation, in our eternity with you as our Father, as our God, as our King. And now with everybody's eyes closed, if you're here today and whether you've been coming a long time or maybe this is your first time in a church, but tonight you realize that you've sinned. Sin is just missing the mark. You're not perfect. And you know that because you feel it in your heart, the guilt, the weight of your sin. And tonight, you want to be forgiven by Jesus. You want to say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. Remove my sin. Free me from my sin. Become my Father. Give me everlasting life. If that's your desire tonight, to turn to God, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand and hold it high, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Yes, I see you there. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Hold it high. I'll recognize you. It's not the hand that saves you. It's your heart turning to God. Is there anybody else here tonight? Today is the day of salvation. Do not let tonight go by. Well, for you that raised your hand, pray this prayer in your heart, not to me, but to God. Just repeat these words in your heart to Him. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Free me from my sin. God, thank you for wanting to be my Father, for saving me. I give you my life. Thank you for everlasting life. Teach me through your word to be more like you. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.